ladies and gentlemen. Harmontown is now in session. As the groovy, funky, Swedish strains of Ace of Base gently wash over your cerebral cortexes, please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Seamless opening tonight. For those of you listening in podcast land, it was a 15-minute ordeal trying to get that Ace of Base song queued up. Had to go to the mayor's iPod.
I think we do that from now on. Well, actually, we're using your iPod for Ace of Base, but I say from now on, if people in the crowd have a good song, we kick it off with that one.
Until we get sued. Yeah. Someone will come in with a Chevy Chase voicemail on their phone and say, I want to open it with this. You can get my phone back.
Oh, shit.
So, welcome. I would like to thank Jeff Davis for comptrolling tonight, as he always does. And I have some notes. I want to apologize to those of you. I assume that if you're coming here and you're laying $10 on the barrelhead, then that means that you're probably a Harmontown podcast subscriber, and that means that you're probably very upset. The last couple weeks, there has been no new Harmontown podcast. We're 2 weeks behind. I was in North Carolina with Erin. Her little brother was getting married in what unfolded into a very awkward turn of events, which I may discuss momentarily. I'm just looking at my phone here. I have my Evernote app loaded up. Things tagged Harmontown. Some of them are mild complaints that I have. Some little observations. Perhaps a pied de terre. No, I'm that's an expression that means an apartment. Sometimes you just throw a three-word French phrase into things to just give a little joie de vivre to a little je ne sais quoi. Here's a complaint. We had some good luck with me complaining about things. I didn't think that complaining was charismatic, but we had a good time. We were complaining about things that I have no right to complain about.
Right.
Some would call that a segment of our show. My mustache is too absorbent. I have to trim it. I was out of town for like 12 days, and I had no trimmer with me. And it really soaks up quite a bit of vodka, milkshakes, whatever I happen to be going into my mouth. And it's like you don't feel it because I don't have any nerve endings in my mustache. I wish cats do.
Walruses.
Yeah, like I don't use my mustache to detect the width of openings I want to get through.
Is the bummer for you that you're being robbed of vodka and milkshakes?
Like, that's where that went. That's why I'm still sober. It's all in my damn mustache. No, the bummer is I have no feeling up there, so I'll just be, if I'm drinking vodka for a while, for instance, just as a crazy hypothetical, I can't feel it, so it just feels normal. But then, like, if I go to like I would say kiss Erin on the head or something, it's like a sponge. Like, all of a sudden there's just like liquid everywhere all over her head. She doesn't complain about it, and then I guess it's nice because then she smells like vodka. I don't know, but I guess there's nothing wrong with it. Maybe I'll cross that off my complaint list. Maybe that goes into bragging column. Mustache absorption. But I trimmed it down. It's fine. Okay, moving on. any more complaints in here? Let's see here. We discovered. Okay. Here's a couple things. Last time I did this segment where I complained about things I'm not allowed to complain about, I started talking about airports because I wanted to get to this one thing I never got to. They have these stupid machines on the... Oh, I talked about this yesterday at the... was anyone there yesterday at the thing? The podcast festival?
your girlfriend and our producer.
Right. And there's one guy who raised his hand. Okay. Well, bummer for you. I'm just going to say everything again.
I won't tell anyone.
What's up with this Tyler Perry guy? No, I'm making that up. What is up with this Tyler Perry guy?
I've never seen him in anything. I don't know.
Well, he's now in a movie. I don't know anything about Tyler Perry. I saw the first. I think was Breakout. His Clerks. What was it called? Madea, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, I think it was.
Don't know.
Since then, there's been several. Madea has become the Black Ernest. She goes to camp. She goes to prison. She goes to hell. She goes to outer space. She saves Christmas.
Is she really?
I one of those is true. I swear to God, I don't know which one, but I know one of them is true. She has either saved Christmas or gone to prison. No, I know. I think both. Didn't Madea save Christmas?
She did.
No.
She's gone to prison.
She's gone to prison for sure. But did she save Christmas? Enty.
You can't just ask the one black audience that.
I did it as a joke. I knew he didn't know.
I bet he does.
Auntie don't know nothing about no Tyler Perry. Auntie don't truck with no Tyler. That'll be a drag. I was saying to Aaron in the car on the way over, because we drove past one of his billboards, it must have been rough if you were Tyler Perry's roommate. You know, there's a lot of Post-it notes in that fridge. Get it?
No.
He probably labels everything, you know, with his name. A guy gave a thumbs down and now is flipping me off. And he's wearing like it's like a poncho polo shirt with a hood. Now he put the hood up because he's gangsta. I don't know what to make of you, sir.
Well, he gave you thumbs up and then flipped you
off?
No,
he gave me thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
And then I made eye contact with him, and then he just started flipping me the finger. This crowd is crazy. Harmontown's crazy. Okay, so I don't know where to begin. Tyler Perry, that landed on its ass.
Hang on. So we go back to that. You were saying that Tyler Perry would say, "This is Tyler Perry's mustard," or Tyler
yeah,
Perry's
it's funny. It was too much of a dot connector. You know who probably loved that? Adam Goldberg probably loved that. It was an Asperger joke, or as you call it, Aspergers. Adam Goldberg just hangs out now, which is fine, I guess. He's a weirdo. He's a lovable weirdo. I'm a misfit. Harmontown is about founding a colony of misfits. Certainly, Adam Goldberg should have some kind of statue of him somewhere on the moon if we get there. But he was hanging out. He just popped by the drawing room, our watering hole, and we were hanging out with Eric Idle from Monty Python. Fame. I had to list his credits. Eric Idle from Monty Python.
From European Vacation.
Jeff is friends with this comedy icon, legend, and we're hanging out with him at our local watering hole, and Adam Goldberg was there. So we ended up at my house hanging out, and Adam Goldberg was leaving the house at the same time as Eric Idle, and we were like, "Oh, everybody, good night, everybody. And Adam turned to Eric Idle and said, "Hey, it was really nice to meet you. Do you have a card?"
Wait.
He just comes
Adam
up.
Just stormed the stage. He just stormed the stage.
I think there's something to be mined from the encounter with what I thought was just a cool old British dude. I can't believe I didn't come here in June to be like, I'm going to involve myself in Dan Harmon's life. But now that I'm...
Says the guy that just stormed the stage and grabbed a microphone.
I've been impugned, Jeff.
No, I'm on your...
What? It's a quirky story about you. Do you deny any part of that story?
Let's flashback. I have spent... Because I can kind of show the tapestry of what you've accused of Aspergian-ness. I would much prefer if we said the word personality. I'd like to think that all the social awkwardness is earned rather than diagnosed, which is the only reason I've said, I don't have Asperger's on all the various shows where I have defended not having Asperger's. So,
what do you have?
I'd like to say a great personality and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
All right.
Which is treated through medication.
What Ritalin?
Okay, yeah.
Can I have some?
Yeah, sure. We'll talk later. I'm not going to. This is going to be the first live drug deal via podcast.
No. You know, like. Season 2 of Community. Heard of it?
Yeah.
Adderall, baby.
Yeah.
Woo, chewing it like candy.
It's the candy that lets you focus.
I can say so. It now. Let that go down for my biopic. That was the Johnny Cash year.
I don't think you're fooling anybody.
Holy smokes.
Dan, have a seat.
Have a seat?
Yeah, let this guy take over. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Goldberg!
Goldberg Town. It's time for us, the regular segment of Harmontown called Goldbergia.
Goldberg.
No one online got any of that. They should have put their money on the barrel, put it in the incinerator. So, it's Wednesday night, a few weeks ago. I'm killing it in the exposition. I'm killing it. I go down to House of Pies for a meetup.com inspired game of Cards Against Humanity. And pies.
I met the creators of that game in...
They're going to love that cheap plug.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
Fair enough. No, it's a conversation. It's not. I'm not an oddity. I'm a weirdo.
Right.
So you can touch the display animal or whatever this is.
Nobody feels sorry for you.
Thank God, because that would take a long time. So I go over to the drawing room. I'm like, House of Pies does not serve liquor, as well they shouldn't. Go over there, and I see Jeff chatting with our dear friend Kate, and the cool... Yes, please.
For the sake of... Jeff went to get a drink for himself. And Adam, who doesn't have Asperger's at all... somehow interpreted Jeff getting a drink as an offer.
Sure thing, Mr. Goldberg.
Offer to get him a drink.
Oh, you've Tyler Perry-ized it now. Oh my God.
Retire, sir.
thank you, Hoke.
All right, so you're at House of Pies, and
I was like, I need to drink some liquor to balance out the good decisions I've been making all night playing 4 hours of an offensive card game. Go over there. I meet Jeff, meet some of our good friends over there. And it's his birthday. It was your birthday celebration.
Pre-birthday, yeah.
And you, there was the coolest British guy I've ever half talked to because couldn't really hear much of anything at the bar. I think he introduced himself and said, my name is... I was like, that's great. I'll wait until someone uses it in conversation later, which never happened. So after impressing...
This is the thing. This is the angle you're playing where you
I didn't know shit. Now
you didn't know it was Eric Idle the whole night.
That looks bad on me. I'll admit that was a mistake.
I don't think it's true.
I just thought you were there. Did it seem like I knew what was?
It never seems
people.
Like you know
Did it
what's
seem
going,
like I
well,
knew
oh,
what was going
oh, yeah,
on.
Oh, yeah, you seem so irrationally impolite. Like, I couldn't pick up on social cues. And you
yeah,
were
you're right.
So, you must not have known who I was. Or, like, you were just being yourself in meeting Eric Idle.
Yeah, that
At one point, you pulled out your phone and started reading at the top of your lungs an anti-war poem off of your phone.
One, it was a loud slam poetry voice. Two... I am normally loud anyway, so that's hard to distinguish.
And I remember Eric Idle
liked that poem.
I know. I remember looking over at Eric Idle. He had his head bowed and he was just nodding, listening to it, like he was in a beat, like a poetry slam.
Think that one of the Rudels also liked that poem. So
I would like to think that my 10-year-old self could randomly through a portal and see me sitting in a living room with a guy on a velvet couch looking at a hologram phone, going, "But my war." Is not your war, brother? Screaming at the top of his lungs with Eric Idle nodding his head in the corner.
Wait.
Like, that's the only glimpse you get of your 39-year-old life, Dan Harmon.
You know who the Ruddles are, but you don't know Eric Idle.
I would recognize him much more. I mean, it was a mistake on my part, but to think all older Englishmen look like Eric Idle is equally biased.
I think that you that when I started laughing at you because you asked him for his card, I said he doesn't have a card. He's Eric Idle.
That's when I knew him alone. Eric Idle. If you had not said that,
and then you went, not by virtue of a natural ability to pick up on it through empathy, but now because it's been pronounced, I've misstepped. And then you texted Aaron and said, sorry about that, I didn't know he was Eric Idle all night. I'm going to go ahead and call. My theory is that that's a little damage control Goldbergian horseshittery. And everyone's going, oh, Adam Goldberg's anything if not honest. Like he's an honest person. You got Aaron's phone number so you could send her that text. The way you got her phone number was by saying, hey, Aaron, I was there when you did this. You said, hey, Aaron, I lost my phone. My phone broke.
My phone.
I didn't go. What was your number again? And she gave it to you. And then we walked away. And she's like, he never had my number.
Both true.
You're a diabolical.
And I lost my phone.
You're diabolical.
Hey,
I think it's just been a long con. This whole personality thing that you've been faking, just to slowly take over Harmontown.
He's not an unintelligent man, obviously. We know that. Certainly who's not to say he's not evil? Like, he could be, we don't know. Jury's out on Adam Goldberg.
I have no rejoinder to defend myself from the accusation of being scheming and evil, but I'd like to defend and say that your accusation of me being competent is far afield.
You certainly were competent in making me make you a drink.
I thought you were. You're much taller than me. I don't know if you can tell in podcast land. Jeff has about 3 or 4 vertical feet on me.
And horizontal, if you know what I'm talking about.
You have a 3-foot dick.
3'4".
You just look like a T-square. Adam, as long as you're up here, the last time you were up on stage, I was in a blackout drunk. I heard the recording of it, and I have some questions, including, what's wrong with your spine? You kept mentioning...
Yeah, that's just muscular. That's a mixture of long-term muscular dystrophy, which I'm going to fall victim to in 30 years, and a little bit of scoliosis.
I didn't know you could make...
You're not allowed to pity me. Don't. That's the rule. That's one of the wrong rules.
We fucking are.
Well, so how does muscular dystrophy work?
A muscular dystrophy is a process where eventually you lose nerve tissue, you lose muscle tissue in a way that it doesn't regenerate. So eventually you lose a lot of lower body function. In severe cases, you just can't use your muscles. It's like...
So you know that you have it, but...
I know that it's hereditary, and my dad has it pretty bad, so
oh,
it's not
so,
like...
Oh, so you don't... You,
it's in the cards.
Is it a thing that you it comes on, like diabetes, like you don't have it now, but you're just saying you're highly at risk for it.
I'm at risk for it. And being in front of a monitor for the past 14 years.
And then there's just scoliosis thrown into boot, like a little garnish.
I got those, the 2-7 off suit.
Just to make sure your spine doesn't make it through the gauntlet.
It looks like a question mark. And the question is, how did Adam miss that social cue?
Yeah, there could be a little show about you called What's Up With Adam? And you could be the question mark at the end of the title
sequence. Is that this segment?
You're leaning up against the M in Adam and kind of like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. You tell me.
Adam's spine is so crooked it makes Jeff look straight.
Wow.
That's for getting 50 retweets for a picture of me doing this and saying it's the face of Asperger's. Leading my brother to call me furiously, is that guy Jeff bullying you?
I did not say it was the face of Asperger's. I said it was a Harmontown Asperger's fight or something like that.
Right? No, it's not like I haven't reread it.
Asperger's!
With anger and evil! I'm evil! That was the twist!
That was good. I'm sorry if I bullied you.
I was like, oh, this guy who's cool... Otto, he's Eric Idle. And I tried to play it off cool, but as we walked down to the cab where he was taking a cab, good sentence construction there, I said, oh, I meant, did you have a birthday card for Jeff, whose birthday is coming up?
And he's like, why do you say birthday like Will Smith? You spell it with an F instead of a TH. Like, welcome to Earth.
Yeah, welcome to birth.
Welcome to birth. You don't have a speech impediment. You just say birthday wrong.
I worked that one out. I used to not be able to tell the difference between specific and pacific. It was terrible.
What did you say? Let me think of a word with TH in it.
And oh, and I will mispronounce it.
I can't even think.
Don't get me started on, like, theory and the whack. Now that I'm highly aware of it, and
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's fun. We're having a good time.
I feel like, has anybody ever seen the movie The Music Man? Yeah. Where the kid with that? I feel like this is a weird deleted
76.
Scene from the music.
Where you just hang out with the kid. What's your deal?
Are you going to sing Gary
Thank
Indiana?
Thank you, Professor Hale. We're learning so much about you. Thanks for making the band.
All right, well...
Yeah, but that's just the clarification of the story. I'm going to go sit over yonder.
All right, Adam Goldberg, everybody. An unremarkable name for a very remarkable young lad, with a beset upon spine, according to him. We should bring up our guest pretty soon.
I said let's start off by welcoming back our dungeon master Spencer, everybody.
Oh yeah, let's bring him up.
For those of you just tuning in, we are well into a campaign of Dungeons and Dragons, and we have the Dungeon Master to the Stars, Spencer. What's your last name, Spencer?
Crittenden.
Spencer.
Just go with Spencer. It's fine.
Spencer.
That seems like
I didn't choose it.
That sounds like young Chevy Chase's bit, like of making up a name. Crittenden. Like it's just trailing off.
Well, we have a special treat tonight. We have a guest in the house tonight.
Yeah, we're gonna have him come up and play D&D with us. Airport security. Just a quick thing, because I've been traveling a lot lately. We're going through the
airport. Please welcome airport security, everybody.
North Carolina. Here's the thing. Okay, security. You go through. You take off your shoes. You take off your belt. You put your wallet in the thing. You got everything in your pocket. You put it all in your bag. Your laptop. Put it in a separate thing. Put the shoes. Put the thing. You go through the thing. And then the only thing that I don't understand about it is at the very end, when the things come out in the conveyor belt, you're through the whole thing. And then you're grabbing your belt and your shoes and your, there's always some dick that's like, come on, people, you gotta keep it moving. Like, always. I get so fucking mad because you can't like tell them what a dick they're being because they'll just arrest you. You're a terrorist if you go, you're a dick. Like, what is it? Like, why are they surprised? They're the, was expedience your goal now? You just fucking, what are you talking about? I'm half naked. I got all my shit in the fucking thing. You're at, whoa, what's going on? Why is everything so slow around here? Because of you. What are you? Are you crazy? Made me take my shoes off. I want to murder you. I'm not even allowed to say it. Go to court. They'll come arrest you. A guy tweeted that he was going to blow up an airport, and they went to his house and because he was at the airport when he tweeted it. But then they like had to figure out who he was, and they went to his house and like.
There's a hockey referee just got busted for making the I got a bomb, and they put me. He's in jail. Like,
fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you, man. Fuck you. The reason why it's illegal to joke that you have a bomb, I guess, is so that you can't kind of like Heath Ledger Joker it, like walk to an airport and go like, I have a bomb. They just don't want to, you can't, they're like, okay, fine. So you can't fuck around with that kind of conversation in an airport because it'll throw a monkey wrench into the TSA's works. Not a government agency, private company. Nothing in the Constitution about any of this going on. By the way, do we really think that Al-Qaeda is going like, all right, good job on 9/11. Let's do another one. Another 9/11. They'll never see that coming. How do we do? Let's do 9/12. They're not retarded. I'm sorry, retarded people. My sister's retarded. The Al Qaeda is retarded, and by that I mean that they are capable of anything.
Nice save.
But,
nice
I also don't want to go to Guantanamo Bay for saying that.
Yeah.
That's, it gets really confusing. Political correctness merged with the new Patriot Act. Yeah. You're in Guantanamo Bay. Why are you here? I said Al Qaeda was retarded. but that's it. No, you don't understand. Retarded people are special. They're courageous. They can do anything. You're not allowed to say that about a terrorist. They're cowards. They are jealous of our way of life. They accidentally knocked down the two biggest buildings in the world with a box cutter. They're completely ineffective. They should be totally ignored. Please welcome to the stage Steve Agee.
I tried to earlier, man. I tried to.
I am a control freak. I like to bring the guests up.
All right.
No, that's okay.
So Steve, then you hate flying,
you
right?
You kind of Goldberged me a little bit.
Steve Agee.
It's our friend Steve Agee.
Hello. Steve Agee, do you have any thoughts about the airport?
Oh, my God. Why do they call it flying? More like waiting to fly, am I right? Wrong song, Jeff.
We discovered a thing at the yesterday's show at this podcast festival where AG does hack stand-up, and then Jeff just plays a music cue after each joke, and it's pretty fun.
Let's try it out. Let's try it out.
How about this heat? I was masturbating yesterday and shot a load of sweat.
It's like laughing. Yeah. You know, the picture's coming out of little doors in a you don't know until
Dan,
the end
you
that
do
it spells
a joke.
Out groovy.
Dan, do a joke now about airport security.
Oh, Jesus. These guys, they...
She broke a needle and she can't sew.
Steve, you're up.
So they don't serve peanuts, you know, anymore. I was on a flight and they didn't even serve food. And I noticed in my seat in front of me, they didn't even have barf bags. I was like, why not the barf bags? They're like, well, we don't serve food anymore.
We'll be right back. That's some heavy dancing going on over there.
I like just gentle leg kicks. Like I just, I don't know, it's a new thing I like doing. So, Steve, you're going to play Dungeons & Dragons with us?
I'd love to try.
All right.
Have you ever played before?
Never.
Nor have I until this campaign.
Yeah, well, we've become really good at it. I really, honestly, it's embarrassing to say, but the last show that we did where Proops came up and we played D&D again, there's been a show since then, but we didn't play D&D in the last game, right? The last show, right?
I don't think so.
We skipped it because Spencer had a beard opening to speak at.
Congratulations, by the way.
It's a huge honor.
Thank you.
So there was a new beard opening across town, and he had to cut the ribbon with his beard scissors. He thought he'd be on time because they usually go very fast because, as you know, the beard scissors are very sharp because they're not used for anything but cutting ribbons. Right. They don't cut their beards with them.
No, otherwise you wouldn't have a beard.
Is that me? Aaron's calling me.
What?
Oh, Aaron's calling and texting, wondering if her character's going to be in this game of Dungeons & Dragons.
Wow. Whoa. From the second she called you from the second row.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's if that's an argument for turning your phone off during a show. That's,
Right, but then how would we have known that Aaron wanted to be on stage?
Yeah.
What, are we supposed to just guess that?
Yeah, you could knock me over with a feather right now.
Our heroes had been camping in the Connie Forest. As they awoke, they realized their unicorn compatriot had vanished. Heading deeper into the forest, tensions ran high without the soothing relief of Tylenol with codeine. In a fit of confusion and self-doubt, Sharpie left his friends and got all reflective and deep while looking into a lake. Resolving to confront his daddy issues after ending the dark influence of Admiral Darkstar, Sharpie and Quark renewed their adventurer's pact and, with a new sense of confidence and purpose, plunged into the heart of the Forest of Shadows.
This is very... I wish I had this in my regular life. As I get older, I could just consult with you each day. What happened yesterday, Spencer?
Dan Harmon went to the bank because he needed to get a cashier's receipt for a sex toy.
What, a cashier's receipt? What? What are you talking about, Spencer?
I don't know.
I just followed.
I blazed
you
a doobie in the parking lot.
a beard doobie. I don't know what.
Shut
up,
beard.
Dan. Just shut up, Dan Harmon. Shut up. All right, now talk. Sorry. Really Goldbergging it up here, man. all right, so
you guys want your characters?
Yeah. Let's get our characters in hand. Dennis from Rockford, Illinois. How's it going?
All right.
Are you enjoying the show?
Love it.
Thank you. You said your girlfriend didn't want to come with you, right?
She's out of work.
Oh, she didn't come with you to L.A.
Right.
This is Jeff.
Hey, Dan, you're doing great up there, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Turn your fucking phone off.
Hello? I put it on speaker. I thought it would get weird, like an infinity mirror.
Let's try it.
This is like the early days of... Shit, now Aaron's calling. Wait. Oh, sorry. I have Aaron on the other line.
Oh, shit.
Hello, Aaron?
No, this is me.
Oh. Wait, let me switch over. Aaron?
Hello.
Yeah. Can you hold on? I have Jeff on the other line. I'm gonna try to merge the calls.
Okay.
Steve, give me a call, would you?
Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
If Alexander Graham Bell had seen this day coming.
Wait, hang on. I got Steve Agee coming in there. Hold on a second.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff, what are you guys doing over there?
We're doing the stupidest bit of all time.
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
Are we on the same call?
Yeah. Hey, you guys, I have a bit for you from my Evernote bit file for Harmontown. Hold on a second. Did you guys know that in high school, famous Austrian physicist Erwin Schrödinger, his prom date left with a veterinarian? Adam, you like that?
I'm just going to come on stage because my character's not dead.
No, that's cool.
Okay.
All right, come on up. All right, Aaron McGathey.
Wow. In Adam Goldbergian fashion, just storm the stage whenever you want, everybody. Just come on up. Yeah, and, you know, we should just turn this the show around, and we'll be the audience.
I am usually the one that is the most entertained at these shows. I should be called the audience.
That worked. That was bullshit, right? The phone thing. We tried it. It was worth a try. Yeah.
Did it work? What do you mean?
I don't know. I mean, did that pay off? Was that good? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it was a concept.
It was certainly worth trying. We don't want to not go to the moon and go to the moon and not have tried that.
Yeah. We need to know how things work when we get up there.
Yeah.
If you're on one call, can someone call you?
Yeah, we might have had a tiger by the tail right there. We don't know.
Talk about it more.
I didn't invite you up here, cocksucker.
Did you call her a cocksucker?
I did.
I don't know. I was going to say thank you, and then I grossed myself out.
One step ahead of you.
Schrodinger, get it? Because he's famous for
the cat.
Yeah, he could have put anything in that box. You know that at one point, like some girl he liked, like married a veterinarian or something. That's all I'm saying. He's like, I'm gonna use my physics powers to hold a cat's life in the palm of my hand for all of eternity.
Cats 101.
Well, do we start playing Dungeons and Dragons now?
The thick, tall trees. The thick, tall trees give way to spindly, gnarled brambles, and the packed dirt and loam of the forest fade into muddy swamps as you follow the path. Deep within Dark Star's set desecration, you embark. That was stupid. The sounds of wildlife die off, and all is quiet save an occasional clacking rustle and the ripples of water lapping at rotting tree trunks.
Sharpie.
Yes, Quark?
How are you? It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's been minutes.
Socially.
It seems like weeks since I knew what the hell was going on.
Yeah. Well, when you're walking is this described, you know, time can fly.
Right. So, what is, refresh my memory on Admiral Darkstar?
Admiral Darkstar is off, and my voice trails off as Spencer's VO comes in.
The corrupting influence of Admiral Darkstar and his dark cult have wrought in terrible destruction on the forest, transforming it into the Forest of Shadows. You hope to assault his ziggurat in hopes of dethroning him and ending his dark...
Sharpie, I know what a ziggurat is, but just for everybody else that doesn't know what a ziggurat is. Just refresh.
A ziggurat is a pyramidal temple used for the worship of ancient cultures.
Thanks, Sharpie.
Yeah. No problem.
All right, I examine my surroundings, Spencer.
You see a wooden sign hanging from a blackened husk of a tree, standing in the middle of the muddy path. It is adorned with a black skull and a black star. Under the sign, you see a pile of corpses. But wait.
We see the sign first before the corpses?
You love signs. Not too bothered by
I saw the sign. And it opened up my mind. I saw the sign.
Full circle.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Adam Goldberg's freaking out right now because so many dots are being connected.
A stirring comes within the corpses.
Don't bully him then.
It may be a survivor. He extricates himself from the pile of corpses and stands. He's wearing plate armor and holding the golden seal of Pelor.
Speak, survivor!
That's you.
That's me.
Yeah, go for it.
Hey, I'm Marcus Goldberg. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Goldbright.
Goldbright.
I'm a Jew.
A magical Jew.
I'm a human Jew. Please help me. I mean, don't help me with being Jewish. I mean, just, I'm laying in a pile of corpses. Help me.
Do you want us to sit shiv? It's a Jewish reference.
Oh, it's Morris, not Marcus. Morris Goldbright.
Morris Goldbright.
Surely, new friend, I lift him with my great strength. I hug him as I'm lifting him.
You hug him successfully. How do you feel about that?
What's with your overzealous friend here, fellas?
You're asking me? Have you seen Admiral Darkstar or any of his minions?
Yeah, they're the ones that caused all this bullshit that I'm laying here in.
How is it, my friend Morris Goldbright?
Yep.
How is it that you are the lone survivor of this travesty?
I'm a coward, and I hid beneath the bodies for safety. I took
Allen.
My best friend and laid his corpse over me. Who's laughing now? The sole survivor.
Well, it was cowardly of you to do that, but so brave to tell us.
Surely you would like to join us in avenging the death of your friends.
I'll stand behind you, of course. Yes, I would like to help avenge.
We're going to get so many letters from synagogues. Mr. Harmon, could your cowardly Jewish character have participated a little? Whatever.
Maybe he redeems himself.
Yeah, well, we don't know. I'm just keeping my eye on that as a potential special interest group disaster.
there's been no black people in this adventure. So,
by the way,
your own perception. I never mentioned race. Yeah. If you read into that, that's not me.
That's the weirdest applause ever.
Dungeon snap.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess
my character is male, and I've always thought of him as black.
All right. Well, that's
it sounds like a bit. It's not a bit.
This stuff wouldn't come to light if I didn't bring it up, but then I get crucified. That's the story of my life.
By the way,
I'm a hero.
I thought this said level 2 hymen. But it doesn't.
It's so much less breakable than a level 1.
I have a level 2 hymen. True story, I still have my hymen. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know. It's armor class. It's impenetrable.
It's like a weird,
my vorpal dick can't even get through it. Whatever.
Dick is a button. That's not. I was yes-anding in a way that wasn't an insult. I'm kidding. It's like a horse was a log, and then that log was blessed by God. That's Dan Stick. I'm sorry.
I examined the paths around us.
Past the blackened tree, you see a massive construction of sticks, mud, and bones, with a gated graveyard to the south. This is Darkstar's ziggurat. Past the wrought iron fence of the graveyard, you see figures cloaked in black, digging with shovels and hauling corpses. You see an ornate wooden door entering into the ziggurat. Past the north wall, you see the glow of perhaps a fire.
Ziggurat? we're out of their vision cones.
Yeah, you're like peering behind this tree. You're pretty far off. They haven't noticed you.
All right,
they're inside a fenced area.
I know this isn't in my nature, but I'm recommending we hide.
You always recommend that.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
I second that. I know where there's a pile of corpses we can hide under, you guys.
Morris Goldbright, dress yourself in corpses and move slowly closer to it so they won't know what it is. Go hide yourself in a pile of corpses and examine the gate.
All right.
What?
It's like, you know... It's like when you dress like a bush and you slowly move closer to something.
Right, but you want it to be...
And it's a cemetery, so
it's a pile of bodies. They won't think anything about it.
But the dead bodies will be moving.
But only when they're not looking.
Yeah. Does he have super strength? Is he going to lift up...
Why don't you do this?
Okay. I clad myself with all of the corpses and slowly, in a red light, green light fashion, move a camouflage towards the gates of the cemetery.
I don't understand.
I want to get a closer look.
You hide yourself into the pile of bodies and manage to shift it ever slowly towards the gates of the cemetery.
Sweet.
Approaching the front gate, you notice that no one has taken notice of you.
See? Guys, get over here.
I grab some bodies and I put them on my body. And I do the same. Except I do it cooler.
You manage to put one body on top of your own and rush over towards...
I say this is one of those situations like in a movie where, you know, like if we can take one of these guys out, you know, we take their robes.
Am I close enough to see these dark figures in robes?
You can see them. They seem unusually pale and thin.
Dan, don't you have detect evil or detect magic or some kind of thing like that?
Yeah, but we know they're evil and magic.
That's metagaming. You don't know that.
They could just be in a goth band.
You are.
An alternative lifestyle.
I'm trying to look for like a charm spell or something.
I apropos of nothing, give Quark a present.
What present?
It's a bow that is shaped like his face. I took tea and I stained fabric.
With Quark falls asleep.
All right, look.
You don't have any fabric. I'm
these,
sorry. You can get some at the store later.
Okay.
What are these guys doing? They're digging or?
They're digging and hauling corpses into the ziggurat.
Are there any of them that are away from the larger amount of them that are vulnerable to some kind of like a little ambush, a little subterfuge, a little hoke and poke?
You see one about 5 foot off of a hole in the fence. You might be able to dash over there and take him out before anyone notices.
I'm gonna try to cast sleep. is the sleep spell, is that a ranged thing? Can I cast sleep on somebody?
Yeah, you can get up close to him and cast him.
I'm gonna try to put this guy to sleep.
Nice.
Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, he does not successfully save, making him fall asleep. He falls asleep.
Well, that was a real roller coaster ride.
Because I'm so great.
You do not have no AIDS.
I examine his body. Is there anything left in his clothing in his body? I examine that. You see a rotting belt. It doesn't seem very stylish.
Quark throws up till he dies.
You wish.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
All right, well, I got the robe on. I'm in disguise.
Go infiltrate, Sharpie.
I'm gonna infiltrate. I'll watch the behavior of my cohorts in quotes.
You notice a marked difference between two types of cohorts. Mm. One moves stiffly, slowly, unnoticing of others. The other seem pretty normal, hauling corpses into the ziggurat and looking about like regular people.
We got some Walking Dead shit going on here.
Yeah?
I say to myself.
Not knowing what Walking Dead
shit is. I emulate the movements of the stiff ones.
You successfully emulate the movements. You walk among the walkers.
Looking good, Sherby.
Sherby.
Sorry, I mean.
Sherby.
Get up to that ziggurat. And word?
You approach the door of the ziggurat. It is open.
All right. I open the door to the ziggurat.
It's already open. You peer inside the ziggurat and see a large stone entry hall. Several coat racks stand in the hall.
I know that's a trick. I'm supposed to hang up the robe, but that's my disguise.
Holding several black cloaks.
Ooh.
I'm going to grab a couple of them.
Yeah, bring them to us.
Yeah, grab three.
Let's say three.
There is a cultist in the room watching. Do you try to do this sneakily, or do you just like do it while looking directly at him?
He's really eyeballing me?
He hasn't taken much notice of you, but perhaps if you took a few cloaks, he might. You think to yourself.
Sharpie, bring Morris Albright, Goldbright in and tell him that he's here to pick up the dry cleaning.
I'm going to try to cast Charm Person on him.
Okay. You cast Charm Person. He regards you with high interest as if you were a trusted friend or ally.
How are you doing? How can I help you?
Need cloaks.
Well, there's tons of cloaks. You should grab several.
Just three is fine.
Are you thirsty?
Huh?
Would you like a drink?
Yeah, I guess.
He procures three cloaks and a drink and puts them in a bag for you.
Huh. Thank you. How's Tracy?
He's like, I'm so glad you remembered. This is why we're close friends. She's doing well, as am I.
All right, well, same shit, different day.
You know that Admiral Darkstar always creating undead and taking power naps.
Catch you on the flip-flop.
Have a good time.
I stiffly exit the ziggurat and go back to my real compatriots, not in quotes.
You managed to do this while escaping notice.
Who's impressed now?
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Thank you.
Nice to see you be brave.
Well, you know.
What took you so long?
Morris Goldbright's sinuses are really acting up. It's cold out here, you know.
Morris, can you stop eating my bagels?
I'm an indoor person.
I teach these guys how to walk stiffly in a hilarious Shaun of the Dead montage.
You think you managed to communicate the proper manner in which to walk.
And that's how you do it.
Yeah. Where should we go now?
Into the ziggurat.
We enter the ziggurat.
Donning the cloaks that Sharpie has brought and adopting the mannerisms of the dead, you manage to waltz right in past all the undead and guards.
You're going to see a guy in the entryway. It's cool. He's with me.
I examine the ziggurat.
It's the outside or the inside?
Inside.
You are in the entry hall. Blue candles line the walls and sconces. There are three doors, one on each wall of the squared room. Oh, and the door you came in. Four doors. Sorry, guys. Triangles are square.
Wait, what?
There's three other doors. Came in one. There are three other doors against the wall.
All right. Eeny, meeny.
I approach the door on the far left.
You approach the door on the far left.
I watch you approach the door on the far left.
You witness the approaching of the door.
I examine his witness.
The examination of the witness
I write down a journal entry about what it was like to approach the door.
The journal entry is enthralling.
I tremble.
The tremble is pitiable.
I try to open the door.
Do you want to hear? Do you want to listen at the door, perhaps?
No. Boring. Go.
Wearing the cloak.
I listen. Right. I listen. Thank you.
You listen to the sounds of people murmuring and sitting. You hear their seats.
I hear people sitting.
You hear. Using your half-elf ears, you hear the sitting of the people in the room.
Just so I know for reference, Spencer, what does sitting sound like? If you could just do it with your mouth.
Hold on.
All right.
I was holding the mic near my butt for the pod last week. So.
Everyone, people are talking in there quietly and sitting.
I vote for that. I'm so tired. I'd love a seat.
You know what, Morris? I still feel like something's going to really pay off. I think you're going to save the day somehow.
He better, I'm telling you. We're going to get sued. Oh, that's another stereotype, isn't it? I'm just making it worse. We're going to get Molotov cocktailed.
I examine the door in the middle.
You hear the sounds of dull scraping as if something is being drug across a stone floor.
I don't like that shit.
Don't open.
Well, what are we hoping to hear? Happy birthday? We're looking for the door. Where is it?
I listen to the third door on the right.
You hear silence.
Well, right. That's a start. I open the third door.
The silent one?
Yeah.
Okay. The walls are draped in black wall hangings, and rows of pews made of red stained wood sit empty, facing an obsidian podium. Doubtless the cultists listened to many a mad raving or dazzling lecture in this room. A large golden statue stands well behind the podium.
Booyah.
It's a human in plate mail, wielding a black sword, but the statue is missing its head. You don't know what statement the sculptor was trying to make.
Morris, you're a bit of an art critic, an art fan. Does this speak to you at all, the statue?
Well, I'm a human. I recognize it's one of my kind. I don't like the fact that he's missing a head.
Thank you.
I walk to the statue and examine it.
It is a large, 9-foot-tall statue. You can't see on top of its head
because
it doesn't have one. Yeah.
Hey,
tall.
Quark, crawl up there. See if there's like a button where its head should be. Or
I crawl on Sharpie's shoulders to examine the top of the statue.
You can see like a setting as if something is supposed to fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Zip.
Like a dick, right?
Gentlemen.
There's a door on the other side of the room.
Ooh. I examine the door.
It is made of wood. You do not approve of its design.
Yeah. Fellas, nope.
Yeah, it's like that shitty belt I saw earlier. I examined the fitting.
Tackiest ziggurat ever.
What does the fitting look like in the head?
It looks circular with a square peg.
Circular with a square peg.
Wait, is it a button or it has a square peg in it?
It's a circular divot with a square peg protruding.
Guys, all we got to do is find a head with a peg sticking out of the neck.
Thanks, Morris. Thank you.
Oh yes, we have to affix the head like a Lego piece and get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
We got to go find that head.
It's got to be on the other side of this wooden door that you hate.
Guys, I hate this door, but can we go through it?
Let's listen at it. Don't forget what we've learned about doors.
Right. We listen at the door behind the statue.
Standing at the door, you can't help but shake the perceptible smell of foul, rotting decay. You hear the same scraping sounds as if something is being dragged across a stone floor.
Spencer, this is getting really scary.
That adjoins to that middle room with the scraping and the dragging.
Hmm.
Spencer, do I have any arrows?
You should have 12 arrows left.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to open the door because I have these arrows.
All right, guys, I'm going to open the door. You ready your arrows?
Okay, I ready my arrows.
And then when I open the door,
I'll ready my spear. By the way, I have a spear.
There you go.
And then you get ready to charge in there when you're in a berserker rage.
I'm ready to go.
I'm going
to
open the door, and in one movement, I'll be kind of behind it just because someone's got to open the door.
A wave of noxious stench blasts through the door frame. You see an assortment of bones. It looks like a snake, but is made out of the fused rib cages of what appears to be at least 40 men. The head of the snake is not a snake head, but instead a golden skull of a human.
We need that shit.
Yep.
Its eyes are set with emeralds, and around its neck hangs a golden chain with an emerald setting.
Is the snake alive? Is it moving?
It is moving about the floor, creating a loud grating sound.
I attack the snake with my sword.
Drawing your sword and lunging at the snake, you strike at its back.
Oh no!
Everything's ruined.
You strike the back of the snake. Your sword rings against its bone thing. You strike a crack. It takes 11 damage.
Is that good?
That's pretty good.
All right.
I shoot an arrow at the...
It's like a golf tournament. Jeff Davis has swung at the human centipede monster. 11 points.
What did he take there? Like a seven sword? Or what was that, an eight?
Wait, what's that?
What sword do you think he used on that one?
Ew.
I get out from behind the door so I can get into this melee with some of my trademark spells like Ray of Frost, Magic Missile, and the like.
You head into the door as Mulrain is knocking an arrow. She looses it. It flies past your head, directly at the snake.
Sorry.
You hit the snake critically. It is a critical hit.
but a ratings disaster.
That was like Dane Cook's arrow.
Your arrow lodges in the neck of the snake. It hits for 14 damage. The snake falls apart into bone pieces.
Whoa!
The golden skull bounces to your feet.
Holy jamoli!
I look to Quark for a nod of respect.
You know what, kid? You're all right.
All right. This is great.
Hey, Morris, you like gold? Go grab that head.
I inspect the head with my loop.
It's terrible. Terrible.
It's easily worth at least 50 platinum pieces.
Let's take it, guys. Into the other room and put it on top of the statue.
I take the head, jump up on Sharpie's shoulders, and place the head on top of the statue.
You do that, but in the other room. You move to the other room and do that successfully. The head fits perfectly onto the shoulders of the statue. You hear a far-off grinding, and the statue slowly turns, revealing a staircase upwards.
Hmm.
Nice.
Good time to quit. Right?
You want to set up camp at the base of the staircase?
And just tell some stories? Yeah, we'll just pause it, and then we'll pick things up from there next week, all right?
We'll hit a pause. Spencer, everybody.
Yeah, hang on.
Yeah.
All right.
Aaron McGathy is Mulrain Sedana.
Hey, Zach, usually that clock is lit up. What are we looking at? What have we done here tonight? What's the damage? So again, we've entered that portion of our show where we're forever in search of an ending. What do we got here? I said this yesterday, but there's only one guy that was here yesterday. So I was in Asheville, North Carolina, for this very awkward wedding. And I don't want to say awkward wedding and have, in case the bride or groom are listening, Aaron's little brother, Michael, is a delightful little guy, and his lovely wife, Bonnie. Congratulations to them. I think because of lack of resources and busy schedules and things, they put their wedding in the hands of what I have no problem characterizing as an evil Southern family. Family that's like friends of the bride, but they're like not related biologically to anybody, but there were more of them at the wedding than anybody else, and it was like Dallas. Like, they owned everything and they hated everyone, and they were just there to like watch the wedding disappoint them. It was a really, really weird experience. They also like hosted the wedding rehearsal dinner at their house, but they all ate inside, and it was very cold out, and they built a fire for us like cavemen, like, and we were just welcome. They just, you're welcome to be out there, and just the cooler's full of beer, and like, we were just these weird Visigoths, like, camping outside their house, and they invited us in for one game. They had researched, they probably Googled weddings or something, and they invited us in into the indoors for a wedding game where the bride and groom had to sit back to back and remove one shoe each, and they're each holding a shoe and sitting back to back, and then all the guests had written questions on an index card, who's gonna clean the toilets, and then they each hold up one of the shoes, either theirs or the spouse's. Dumb. Just dumb. You know, these wedding games are dumb. There's some fucked up wedding games. Have you ever gone to a reception? I went to a wedding in Milwaukee where they played this wedding game where the groom was blindfolded and the bridesmaids were all lined up with the bride sitting in chairs, and he had to try to guess which woman was his by feeling their legs.
That's a recipe for success.
It felt very Japanese. Are we in Tokyo?
Was he able to
Are we
going to
start
it?
Drinking pee in a minute? Imagine a wedding. I kept thinking when I was at the wedding reception, because it was very. There was no music, and it was just kind of fluorescent lit, and it was very fast and furious. And there was a guy that introduced the bride and groom at the reception. He was and he went like, "All right. Here they are, the bride and groom." it was like we were all hostages. It was so weird. I kept expecting. I was thinking like this would be a great cold open of a pilot. If you were like you're at a wedding reception and there's something just off about it and you don't know what it is, and then someone would run in and go,
the perimeter's breached. There's walkers in the tripwires, you know, and everyone would run over to a table full of guns and like suit up. It's like, turns out it's 2038 and, you know, we're in a free fire zone and we were witnessing a brief futile attempt to emulate a golden age society. Everyone's actually just space marines.
Do you want to get married?
Yeah.
What would your ideal wedding be like? Can you envision that?
It'll have a probably a Raiders of the Lost Ark theme, I think.
That'd be awesome.
You know, where the audience, the guests will be invited to help me find a new way of life together. that the Nazis are also trying to get to, you know, and if they play their cards right, you know, by the end of it, it's like, thank you. You know, my wife and I, thank you so much for helping. Thank God the Nazis didn't get married instead.
Which character would be the minister or the officiant?
Belloc.
Belloc?
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because he's not so different, you and I. You know, like he that's how he would start it. He'd go, "We're not so different, you and I, Dan Harmon. You know, we're not men of God, but we believe in value, our artifacts." And I would go, I don't know about that. Like, I would have an arc to my wedding. Like I would want to be a protagonist. I would learn how to get married. I would start by going like, "This is bullshit." You know, all I need is my blaster on my side. I don't believe in no force.
So you're just going to be all Harrison Ford movies.
Yeah, yeah. And then the third act, I just kick someone off my plane. I believe in the force now. Belloc. Yeah, it would be a Harrison Ford wedding.
Would you get a bullet in the brain and forget how to love?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be the second act. Ritz.
A one-armed man would come in and kill your wife as soon as you were married.
I didn't kill my wife. In all seriousness, I would like to have like something to the ceremony where so, you know, they say speak now or forever. Yeah, they do that business. Like it's become a joke now. But it would be nice to have somebody come in that was like a, you know, just like dressed like a, you know, as a purple monster or something, and go like, "I don't want this wedding to happen. I'm lack of love. Lack of love. Get out of here. I'm gonna marry this woman. Not if I have anything to do with it." And then you wrestle in the aisle and. Okay, it would be cool.
So what you're saying is you're never going to get married.
I just need to find a woman who's willing to have her brother dress like a purple monster.
AT, do you envision yourself being married at any point?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you a romantic fella?
Nope.
You're not. You don't think of yourself as romantic?
I just want it for the tax benefits.
I mean, we don't picture ourselves dying either, but we know what's going to happen. It just happens.
Wow.
Everybody gets married.
No, they don't.
Yeah, eventually.
Babies don't get married. Sometimes they die. Sometimes a baby dies without ever knowing what love is. Oh, I'm lying?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's truth.
Cemeteries are full of unmarried dead babies.
It's true. I'm sorry. I
approve of this. It's fucking horrible.
Yeah, but yeah, they should have thought about that.
I brought this up for some reason. I can't remember what it was. We went on a ghost tour. What the fuck? Why did I bring this up? Why did I bring this up? We were in North Carolina. We were there for the wedding. Fucking A. I'm so sorry.
You went on a ghost tour. You didn't tell me about it.
Well, we went on a ghost tour. We went on a walking ghost tour of Asheville.
Was it a ghost adventure?
It was a ghost adventure. Yeah, it was a ghost hunter
thing.
Were
there two guys with tribal tattoos next to you that yelled?
No, it was just this hippie lady who wore socks and sandals and a windbreaker.
Was it outside?
Yeah, she just because they don't have any money, so you're just walking around. She's just pointing at buildings, and everyone else goes, "Get out of here!" She's like, "I don't know what his problem is." You keep pointing at his church and telling people that someone got murdered there. Like, beat it! Get a job, you hippie.
She should say that those guys are ghosts. She, this house is haunted by a guy that hates you on his property.
She did try to characterize that and other things as paranormal. Like, we walked past a place and she's like, every business that opens here goes away within 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, there's no parking. It's a terrible location.
We're in a recession.
It's not a ghost story.
Ghost hunters traipsing through your property.
It's like the ghost of our economy is haunting. I'm like, oh, Rana, is it still trickling down from the Reagan days? She gave Aaron an actual like meter, like an and said these detect ghosts. Also electricity,
yeah.
And water, and temperature variation. So, you know, use your own discretion. It really is just like a random, you're just next to a building. I got a ghost building, power line, fire hydrant, or sidewalk here. So that was her tool. But she looked the most like a Ghostbuster holding that thing, because at least it was beeping and lighting up. I got a thermometer, one of those laser thermometers.
Right.
And I said to her, like she gave it to me. She's like, temperature variations can't, you know, like when there's ghosts, like it can be very cold and all this stuff. So a thermometer can actually be a valuable thing. And I'm down with that, and I'd never had one of these laser thermometers, and I pointed it across the street. I was like, "Hey, how do these things work anyway? Like, how do they? I don't mean how do they detect ghosts. I mean how do they read temperature like from across the street? That's really wild." She's like, "You know what? I don't really know." I thought that was hilariously funny. Yeah. It's like, you're giving me a thermometer and saying you can use it to detect ghosts. Hey, how does it work as a thermometer? I don't know. I don't know.
there's a ghost in the machine.
Adam Goldberg clapped for that. So you are fucked, my friend. Then the other girl. What did the girl that was the only person that was actually into the whole thing? What did she get? What was her tool?
We both had.
Oh, she had another ghost meter.
Yeah.
The girls got ghost meters.
We used that bathroom.
It was two couples. It's two couples, and so it's me and this. I got a thermometer, and then the remaining guy, this poor fucker, he got dowsing rods. He got two sticks that move together if there's a ghost or water or electricity around. Pretty
until they got too heavy for him to hold anymore.
He was using them.
I'm gonna guess that because you didn't open this show with this story, I'm gonna guess you didn't see any ghosts.
We did not. She encouraged us to take a lot of pictures, and then you take pictures of high ghost areas, and then you look at them, and then you see like a blob on the thing, and you go, oh, it was a ghost.
Orbs.
Yeah, orbs. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be a ghost hunter. No big deal.
And then she would just go. Obviously, this tour was designed in an age before Google, because she would walk past the building and go, yeah, 13 people jumped off of that building during the Depression. And you just like pull up your phone and go, like, no. No one ever jumped off that building. You're a ridiculous person.
Now, are you guys familiar with the show Ghost Adventures and Zach Bagans, its host? You guys, anyone? Right, applause. Couple people.
I tweeted Zach Bagans before I went on this right. ghost adventure for advice, and he said, don't fart. it's like spraying off in the jungle. I guess ghosts hate farts is what he was saying.
Is that why he doesn't see any ghosts on his show? He's constantly going to Arby's before a ghost adventure. That show is so fucking ridiculous. I love it.
We gotta get back on the ghost adventures.
Can we get Baggins on the show? Can he come on the show?
No, he'd never do that.
Right.
He's a ghost hunter. Of course we can get him on the show.
Dan, tell him there's a ghost at Nerd Melt.
Tell him comedy dies here every night. They say you can still hear Dana Gould's set howling on the old number 9. Anyways, what was I honestly, I really don't remember why I brought up North Carolina. It was an awkward wedding reception. The Jackson family, if you're listening, you can go fuck yourselves. just bad people. They're just like don't ever the next person that has a wedding rehearsal dinner, they're gonna be so confused by how many questions I have before I show up. I'm gonna be like, are you sure it's okay if I come? Like, am I welcome? Like, because I've never felt so unwelcome at a wedding rehearsal in my life. Oh, the stupid wedding game where they're holding up the shoes. Everyone has to write down a thing on an index card and ask a question. I wrote three drafts of my question. I thought very hard about it. You know, it's like every the questions are supposed to be like, who's gonna be the first to fart in bed? Who's gonna clean the toilets? Who's gonna file the taxes? And I wrote, it is the year 2038. nuclear Armageddon has occurred. There are bands of mutant raiders are encroaching on your territory to take your last can of beans. Which of the two of you is most likely to be the first to use lethal force to protect your resources? What's this, a novel? And they didn't ask it. I didn't want them to. Fuck them. They would have butchered it. Aaron went out and grabbed the question and shared it with her brother, and he's like, "That now there's a question. I've been answering about farts all night, holding up a shoe. I feel like an idiot. There's a good question. Thank you, Michael McGathy. I agree. I should be a writer. Everybody dresses Jareth for Halloween from Labyrinth.
Right, do you know about this? Dan and Aaron and I were all dressing as Jareth from Labyrinth, David Bowie's character. We encourage everybody to come. What's our show near Halloween, 29th?
We have two shows in the proximity of Halloween. We have a show on the 22nd of October, that's next week. And then we have a show on the 29th. So
29th.
So we say the 29th is going to be our Halloween Harmontown.
We encourage you to come as Jareth, David Bowie's character from Labyrinth. And then all the Jareths, we're all going to go take over some bar. We're all going to go somewhere.
We'll figure it out.
And I want 900 Jareths to walk into a bar.
And we're gonna sing Dance Muppet Dance. What's the...
Dance Magic
Dance. Dance Magic Dance. It's a Halloween Jareth. I want to dress like Jareth for Halloween.
Yes,
it's a pretty good Bowie.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Now, can you do early Bowie?
It's like better than Sean Connery. Most things down here don't react well to bullets. Sean Connery Bowie.
I Netflixed The Gray just because of your impression of Liam Neeson.
They don't care about Netflix.
They're not herbivores.
They don't stream direct-to-video. They don't see proceeds from video on demand. It's only available for a limited window that the Writers Guild agreed to. They don't get residuals. They just want to eat you. All right. Well, let's figure out how to end this thing.
Yeah.
Quick improv scene. I'm coming to your store. Steve Agee has a what kind of store? It's I heard pickles.
Pickle store.
Pickle store.
Pickle
and
store.
And
Dan, just so you know, I have my finger on the play button for Xanadu.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's ready to go.
But I honestly, I can tell the difference between a pity laugh where you're just like, I want to go home, so I'm gonna pretend like that was funny enough to close the show. I won't do it. The more you do that, the more I'll punish you. You'll be here all night. We will close the show on a genuine, sincere, joyous eruption and nothing more. Nothing less, sorry. all right, so Steve Agee has a pickle store, and I'm an Amish farmer. Amish farmer.
He farms Amish people.
All right. Ching ding ding ding. Is this
pickles? Welcome to pickles.
I noticed you spelled it P-I-K-K-Y-L-Z !!
Yeah, my father started the business, and he was a half-wit.
Oh, so it's not just it's not charming. It's he's just dumb.
It's just stupid.
Well, I guess I'll take two standard dills, a sweet basket, and can I get a jar of relish?
Just then, the owner of Pickles, the old man who created the store, Adam Goldberg, enters the pickle store.
Why, we got a customer?
Oh, fuck. Hey, Dad.
Hey, relish man, here for your relish?
Dad, he wants a relish basket.
Oh, just one. Upsell him. Upsell him. We only get like 5 customers a week.
I can hear you.
I know. Well, can he hear me?
Yeah, he can see you too, Dad.
There are a lot of... Did he make fun of the sign?
He wasn't impressed with the sign,
you,
Dad.
Did you tell him why the sign... Did you call me a...
Half-wit, yeah.
I am a three-quarter wit.
He's a three-quarter wit. I'm sorry.
I'm in the room, and I won't be upsold. I heard you say upsell him. I came here for pickles. I feel like
we got the two deals you said, was it?
Yeah, I'm already ordering a shitload of pickles.
That is a shitload. Have you joined the membership club? We send out.
I don't want to get any junk mail.
It's mostly recipes, and it's mostly the same recipes. Like how to turn a cucumber into pickles.
Things take a decidedly romantic turn somehow.
There's a membership has its benefits.
All right. Adam Goldberg closes his second episode of Harmontown.
Third. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Goldberg. Spencer Crittenden and Lennon Menden.
Steve Agee, everybody. Spencer Crittenden.
Also, I want to thank Katie Levine, our audio recording, Zach McKeever, tech, Emily Gordon, producer, Daniel Kramer, program director, Dustin Marshall, podcast producer, Mo Fasselbab, on-site director,
Jeff Davis,
our artist, and Sharuz Shaken, our website designer. One more time for Steve Agee, everybody. I've been Jeff Davis. Dan Harmon, your mayor, everyone.
God bless you. Thank you very much for coming. We'll see you next week.